Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. We need you. We need you. We need you. Scripture comes from Genesis chapter 3. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We know that we've read it already earlier. We're going to go ahead and read it once more again. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Verses 8 through 12. As you're turning there, I want to say thank you. Thank you so very much for thinking it not robbery to come and spend time with us today here at Love Fellowship Believers. Amen. LFB, would you give our guest a hand, please? Amen. Amen. For the sake of time, Genesis verses 8 through 12, for the sake of time, I'm going to read verse 12. When you have it, would you say amen or either stand to your feet, whichever one is best for you. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, for the sake of time, I will only read verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, "And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for this moment and this time, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here in this place. God, I ask that you would allow your word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done here. So open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. That a seed would be planted, Father God, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but to be doers as well. Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Show up in this place, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 What a sad thing that this scripture so many times has been used to bash women. So many times it's been used to say, oh, it was the woman's fault. Well, I want to go ahead and let you know that we ain't doing that here today. I saw when the scripture was read earlier, I saw everybody, what he think he going to say today? But that's not what's going to happen. I want to share with you, for those that are writing notes, I know that we have some folk to bring their notebooks, and if you don't have a notebook, but you have a program, there's a section on your program. For those that are writing notes, if you want to write a title, I want you to write down the point game. The point game. I think each and every single one of us. Actually happened is that somebody said something to me, and so I just responded to what they said. Or, you know, somebody might come up with another excuse to blame. I've heard this saying so many times, the devil made me do it. It really wasn't me. It really wasn't my nature. It was the devil that made me do it. That's such a lie. That's such a lie. The point game. The point game. Well, to be able to understand chapter 3 and to be able to understand Adam's response to God as God quizzes him and asks him, where are you doing? What's going on? Who told you that? You first need to be able to look at a little bit of the history before we even get here to chapter 3. The history here is that God has created this perfect environment. And in creating this perfect environment, his most perfect creation, he puts right in the middle of this environment. And he says, look, I've given you everything that you need. The only thing that I request from you is that you not eat of this tree. It's the only thing that I'm asking. Forever, we'll be able to commune together. Forever, there'll be a right relationship between us. Just don't eat from the tree. The Bible doesn't say exactly where Adam was during this time, but it happened to be a time that after God had taken his most precious gift and placed it in the garden, that he was by himself. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Come on, you know the story. God allows a sleep to fall upon Adam, and once this sleep falls upon Adam, he takes of the rib, and then he creates this woman, which is man's most perfect gift. Amen. Amen. I don't know where she is. She might be back there with the kids right now, but I got one. Amen. 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 So he creates this most perfect gift for man. But then as time goes on, she comes across this serpent. The Bible says this serpent was crafty. This serpent was cunning. Not that craftiness or being cunning in itself is a bad thing, but it's the purpose in which it was used which made it bad. Amen? See, before up until this point, which is deemed to be the fall of man, God's word had brought forth life and order. See, God had simply just spoke it, and it had to respond. He said, let there be, and then there was life. Amen? And not only there was life, but there was an order in which life was to proceed on. But this serpent brought chaos. This serpent brought death. Amen? And so when we start to see this, this is exactly what the enemy's goal was, to bring chaos and to bring death. The Bible doesn't say whether or not Eve knew or whether she didn't understand what was going on here. But what actually happens, if you look back in chapter 2, around the 16th and 17th verse, you'll find God's command to Adam that you should not eat from the tree. But if you look over here, you'll see the enemy's craftiness. As when we start to go back and look at these scriptures, it says in chapter 3, verse number 2, that, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. See, God didn't say you couldn't touch it. God said you couldn't eat of it. And once this statement was made, the enemy saw exactly how he could mess it up. If he could just get her to touch it and find out in touching it didn't nothing happen, then he could trick her into eating it. Amen? Now see, this is just how things happen right now. See, the enemy tries to use us to go ahead and say, if we can just get over here, if I can just get you a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer, then I can get you to respond. If I can get you to start to think outside your relationship, if I can get you to start to think outside of your marriage, if I can start to get you to start to talk about different stuff, then I can get you to actually to respond. Amen? This is his craftiness. But see, in contrast, when Eve, not really knowing how to deal with the serpent, when the serpent started to speak to her, she thought that she was speaking the word. She said, I can't touch it. But that's not the word. That's why it's important that the scripture says to study to show yourself approved. Because we'll find over in the New Testament that when this same serpent tried to beguile Jesus, Jesus, in contrast, responded with the precise word of God. And in responding with the word, the enemy had to flee. Amen? And so Christ gained victory over Satan, amen, with this knowledge of God's word. Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Satan just put the thought into Eve's head, and Eve did the rest. You got to guard your mind. You got to be careful how you start to think about things. Come on, y'all. Don't let politics get you tore up. Don't let rumors of wars get you tore up. Don't let somebody telling you that you're less than get you tore up. Because, see, as the mind thinketh, once you start thinking it and getting it in your mind, then there's going to be time to start to mess up. And so we have to guard our minds. Amen? Amen. Amen. Guard our minds. Our minds. Here we'll start to see that there's a few things. I'm going to give you three P's that we should look at here. See, there's a physical want. Amen. There's a physical want that each and every single one of us have. Each and every single one of us has a physical desire that needs to be fulfilled. It's not that Eve was hungry, because there was plenty of other stuff in the garden. It's just that she wanted what she said that she was told that she couldn't have. So many times we might see stuff and say, ooh, that sure does look good, but you know it's not good for you. Amen. Country ham and eggs every morning. Every morning. Ooh, with some raisin toast and a little bit of cream cheese. Amen. About 3 cups of coffee. Amen. That sounds real, real good. But that ain't good for you. I know. Maybe some pie, maybe some cobbler, maybe some cake, maybe sweets might be your thing that you want it. You just, I got to have it. Seem like every time I drive by a cookout, that doggone Snickers milkshake just be calling out to me. Every single time. And let me find a Dairy Queen. The car just starts to just go off to the side of the road. But it's not good for me. It's not good that I should have it each and every single. I done worked all day long. I done worked all week. I just want to go home, take these clothes off, lay on the couch. But Lord, I'm getting old. I need to move around a little bit. I need to have some exercise in my life. Or the kids say, no, just give me the meat. Just give me the meat and potatoes. I don't want the vegetables. But it's not good for you. Amen. And so our physical desires, and I just named some things with some food to go ahead and qualify everybody in the room. Amen. But you know what your physical desire is. You know what it is that you want. You know what it is you want that you know you shouldn't have. You better stay away from it. Stop thinking about it. There's a physical want that each and every single one of us has. But outside of that physical want, then there's the thing that's just pleasing to the eye. See, I have a want, but then there's that thing that's just pleasing to the eye. No, I ain't gonna never do nothing. I just want to be around them. I'm not gonna. It's just pleasing to my eye. But see, that physical want deals with the physical, but when it becomes pleasing to the eye, see, that starts to mess with the heart. That starts to get the heart in the wrong place. You'll start to look at it and say, that's pleasing to my eye. That's pleasing to my eye. And then in your heart, you, I wonder. Need to leave it alone. Eve said, I wonder, because, well, the serpent said, if I eat it, it's good. It's the difference between the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, what? That's pleasing to my eye. Look at that pretty. People say apple. They don't say apple, but look at that fruit. Look at that fruit. That's pleasing. I want that fruit. It looks good, and I want it. Lastly, it's that potential gain. It's a potential gain, because what the serpent said is that, look, the only reason God told you not to eat it is because once you eat it, you'll be like him. I know it's not good for me, but there might be something I can get out of it. There just might be something that I can get out of it. Oh, there's a potential there. There's a potential there. It looks good over there on that other side. There's a potential for me to, if I was to get that, I might... Ooh, that job. I might go ahead and apply for that job, because if I go ahead and get that job, there's a potential. I might make more. But then you get that job and then find out that you ain't at home as much. You get that job, you find out your relationship's starting to fall apart. You get that job, but then you find, I can't make it to Bible study because I got to work. I can't make it to Sunday school because I can't. But there's a potential. I might. That's the trick of the enemy. Trick of the enemy. Amen. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17, it says, you shall not covet. You shall not covet. You shouldn't look at something else and say, that's somebody else's stuff. God said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Amen. Tell me, what is it that you can gain by disobeying God? What good is going to come from disobeying God? If there's no good to come from disobeying God, then we ought to be able to pick up his word and say, this is what we follow. The point game. Amen. Amen. Here in verse number 12, what happens is that Adam starts to say, look, God, I was good all by myself, but it's this woman that you gave me. It's this woman that you gave me that just messed it all up. So if you're going to get anybody, okay, y'all know I'm paraphrasing, right? So if you're going to get anybody, I need you to get her. Because I was good. Me and you was good before she came on the scene. I believe by looking at this scripture and by taking other scriptures in the Bible over in Corinthians where it talks about the order where there's God, there's Jesus, there's man, there's woman. Where it says a man in Genesis, this same book where it says because of this relationship between man and woman, a man would leave his and cleave. I believe in all these different things. When we start to look through these scriptures, that it was Adam's responsibility. It was Adam's responsibility. Oh, come on, just look around the church right now. There's more women in here than there are men. I'm not here to bash women. I'm not here to bash men. What I am here to do is to bash the enemy. And to get us to start thinking crazy. As a believer, this is not a time to point at anybody else for our own mess ups. It's not time for us to point at the world because the church isn't prospering the way that we think it ought to be. It's not time to start to point to somebody else because things are falling apart in our lives and not working out. If you want to point at anybody, there's my mom and daddy right there. My mom and daddy say, when you point at somebody else, when you point, I don't want to offend nobody, I want to point at you. But when you point at somebody, there's some other fingers pointing back at you. There's scripture, I believe it's over in Matthew, that says, before you start to deal with the dust in somebody else's eye, you come and trying to tell me about the dust in my own eye while you got a 2x4 sticking out your head. The point game. We got to get away from trying to blame everybody else and everything else for the condition that we're currently in. Now, I don't care who you voted for. I don't care who you rooted for. But it ain't their fault the reason things are the way that it is. Because this Bible that I read says life and death lies within the tongue. Christ's bride is not a chump. We as the church are to be reckoned with, but only to be reckoned with once we're doing what it is we're supposed to be doing. If you really prayed for your family the way that people think that you pray, if you really prayed for your family the way that you say that you pray, if you really read your word the way that you say that you read your word, if you really did what it is that you're supposed to do based upon the title that you... If we really, really, really did what we were supposed to do, then we ain't supposed to be in the shape we're in. If you respected your relationship the way that you respected you're supposed to respect your relationship, maybe you might not be having problems. If you would have raised your children the way that they're supposed to have been raised, things wouldn't be the way that they are. Before we can get on somebody else, you got to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You can't control nobody else. There's plenty of grandmamas in here. They'll tell you, yep, we brought out a switch. Yeah, we did all of this and did all that, but couldn't make nobody do nothing. I beat them. I couldn't make them do nothing. They still ended up going out and doing what? You got to be concerned about how you respond. And you be the example. More ministry occurs by your action than it does your words. Amen? Amen. 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 In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. It says, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. What troubles me in 2017 is that I can turn on a TV and I can find comedians making millions of dollars by joking the church. I can see television stations and all this stuff making millions of dollars by mocking God, by mocking Jesus. Where is the fear of God? It's going to be almost impossible for a non-believer to fear God if the believer don't fear him. I remember before I gave my life to Christ, I had some difficulty because at the time my locks were long. And because I had long locks, I got treated a certain way. But this was supposed to be a place that was supposed to accept whosoever with open arms. No matter what I had messed up and what I had done, no matter what my appearance was, I myself was happy to just be in the place. But why would I want to keep coming to a place that wanted to treat me different? That looked at me like I had mud on my face. All because of how I looked on the outside. But I had a sincere heart. As believers, we got to stop that. We got to stop getting caught up on all the stuff on the outside and how crazy it looks to us, and stop being caught up in your own mess and understand it's about the... If God has placed you in a situation that he has put somebody else in front of you, you better respond to it. Because if you don't, you're going to have to be the one to answer to it. Jesus didn't say, I'm Jesus. I'm God wrapped in flesh. I'm over here at the synagogue. Y'all come on over. No, he got up. He went places where other folk wasn't going. He even got scolded for talking to people that folk thought he shouldn't be talking to. He even had the religious leaders jump on him and say, what are you doing? It's the Sabbath. You're picking food and eating. Are you serious? I was hungry. What was I supposed to do? We got to stop letting that stuff get in the way of actually doing what it is God wants us to do. It's about telling somebody else about Jesus. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. And whatever arena that looks like, it might look crazy to you, but that's what it's about. Amen? That's what it's about. Lastly, the effects of sin. This is right here is where it started. The fall of man. This is where it started. The effects of sin. Jesus gave life. Sin turns life into death. Jesus gave pleasure. The Garden of Eden was a place of pleasure. Sin turned pleasure into pain. Jesus gave abundance. It was Adam and Eve in a whole garden all by themselves. Amen? He gave abundance, but sin causes lack. God said, here is fellowship. You have direct connection, fellowship with me. Satan, sin, caused separation. All of these things is what happened at the fall of man. but I'm so thankful that God had a plan. I am so thankful that God had a plan. And his plan was named Jesus. That he says, all these things that got turned around at the fall of man, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get it back. Everything that the enemy has stolen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get it back. But first, you're going to have to believe in me. First, you're going to have to respond to my word. First, you're going to have to be willing to be obedient. Look, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to cross every T and that you're going to dot every I. Because, see, I'm not looking at what's on the outside like man does. I'm looking at your heart. And when I see in your heart that you're sincere, when I see in your heart that you're willing to go where won't nobody else go, when I see in your heart that you first believe in me, with your heart, and then you confess it with your mouth, I will turn that death back into life. I will turn that lack back into abundance. I will take everything that the enemy has taken, and I will bless you with it. That's what Jesus brings. That's what's different than any other belief. Jesus takes in all the things that the enemy took away and gives it back to us. All based upon our response. And so as a believer, don't you get caught up in how somebody look. Don't you even get caught up in somebody else's issues. So what they drink. So what they smoke. So what they do, whatever they do, that's their issue. When you get a heaven and hell that you can place somebody else in, then you go ahead and be in charge of that. But this point thing has to stop. It has to stop. And it stops with you. Stop trying to blame somebody else for your shortcomings. It ain't nobody else's fault. It's all on you. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been through a lot. Well, you ain't been through no more than Jesus. I ain't saying you ain't been through a lot. I'm just saying that I know somebody that's been through more. And the scripture that I read says that he conquered the world. He's done what he's needed done. That part's done and over. It's now on you. We're not waiting for the Messiah to come and do something. He's already did what he's supposed to do. You got a question about it, what are you doing? Hopefully, you're walking in destiny. Hopefully, you're doing what it is you're supposed to be doing. There's an assignment, especially for you, that God has given you, and it's just for you. Can't nobody else do it. There's people that's going to come across. Those folk are assigned to you. We here in this place, and I don't know how many people is in here. My assignment with today was to give you this word. Your assignment is to take this word outside of these four walls, into your house, into your job, into wherever you go, and let somebody else know. Stop being so judgmental on somebody else because you ain't always been where you are. The point game. I have more scriptures to give you, but it's time to stop. Amen. Time to stop. The point game. Stop blaming somebody else for your mess. Your mess is your mess. And it's okay. Because all of us got mess. Every single one of us got mess. I got mess. Let me go ahead and do it so won't nobody feel some kind of way. I got mess. I don't have no problem being transparent about my mess. I got mess. And I need to clean up my own mess. I got desires just like anybody else. I see some stuff and go, ooh, that's nice. But there's potential. But that ain't for me. I got enough going on just to deal with me. And if just so happened while I'm dealing with me, God's put somebody else in front of me, I can give you what I have. I know Jesus. I can give you what I have. I ain't going to tell you everything going to be perfect. I ain't going to tell you that the sun going to always shine. You don't want the sun to always shine anyway. It'll burn up everything. You need some rain every now and then. Nobody want to be in a drought all the time. Get some water in your life. Okay. I'm sorry. Amen. 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 The point game. Come on, everyone standing to your feet. Can we go ahead and put our hands together for the Lord? Amen. For his word. Here at Love Fellowship Believers, what we do after we preach the word of God is that we have personal decision time. We do our altar call towards the beginning of the service so that you can go ahead and get off of you whatever else you came in here with, what other stuff that was bothering you. We go ahead and pray then. But now it's personal decision time. We empty out the cup because we pour into it with the word of God. But now that you hopefully have a cup with something in it right now, hopefully that you've heard something, something's been said, something's been done to make you to want to make a personal decision. The wonderful thing about the God that we serve is that I ain't got to know about your personal decision. I don't have a problem praying with you about it. If you want to share it, I don't have a problem with you sharing it with me, but I don't have to know about it. Because God knew you was going to be dealing with it before you even understood you was going to fall into it. Okay, it's that simple. But what God is looking for is a willing heart. Someone willing to say, yep, I just looked at my stuff, I just surveyed it, and it ain't where it need to be. There's a phrase that says that if better is possible, then good is not enough. And so I looked at it, and it's a good report, but it could be better. My sons bring home straight A's. They got straight A's on their last report card. I was like, son, that's great. Now let me go over there and look at that conduct. That's a good report card, but it could be better. If your personal decision today is that, hey, I've surveyed, I've looked at myself, not your neighbor. I don't need you edging anybody else on the side of you. You need to go ahead. No, you.